News this morning out of the Roosters and the Titans. The Roosters issued a release saying Sam Verrills is set to leave the club at the end of this season to take up a two-year deal there with the Gold Coast Titans. Just on Clarkie, back next Monday. He's just posted, he's still in Paris and outside the Eiffel Tower. Loz just goes, I think you might be camping there. I'll say that's a million to one.
He was on. He was sat on a terrible wicket the other day, wasn't he? The curator should be sacked.
Mate, I get in trouble if I go to New York and every day I want to go to Times Square.
Yeah.
And my wife goes, I'm not going to Times Square again. Now, I don't know who Clarkie's with, but surely the company he's keeping would be going, we don't want to keep going back to the Eiffel Tower. You don't go back to the same spot, do you?
Well, if there's a bottle of
Moët. I liked it, but I sort of sense where they're coming from.
Yeah. If there's a bottle of Moët attached to it. I'd sit on the Eiffel Tower for a few days.
It's parkland there, I suppose, as well. I mean, you know, Times Square's pretty, you know, in your face.
Yeah, I like in your face.
You are one of
them. I shirt from people. I'm Tony Abbott.
My favourite Loz's.
What do they call it, up and in defence?
My favourite Loz travelling story, actually, when he said he was in Vegas with Michelle. And, you know, he goes walk about because he doesn't want to go shopping with Michelle or whatever. And Michelle comes back and he's in MGM Grand or wherever where he's staying. Up on stage doing a bit of karaoke.
Elvis. Oh, mate. Mate, it was perfect. No one knew who I was. It was outstanding afternoon. I like my own company, Mossy. I can keep myself busy. Yeah. And I love people watching.
Yeah.
And I just think about them. You know, what do they do? What are they up to? See, all that type of stuff. And I just sit back and I have a little bit of a giggle to myself. And then as, you know, the more you sort of relax, the more you let yourself go. And then, you know, karaoke starts. And
My
voice is ready.
I can sit there for hours, people watching. Penny has a different term for it.
Right.
She doesn't call it people watching.
Right. But I like people watching. Yeah. I really do.
That's great.
Yeah, my favourite travel story from Loz. And I think it might have been the same trip when Loz had to come back earlier and Michelle was still over there. And she sent him a photo of the bed in the hotel room full of designer bags. Do you remember? Or shopping bags.
Yeah, I wasn't happy.
From designer shops. And he's looking at the photo going, oh, my God, this cha-ching. Is going to kill me.
Just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
G'day, Cookie.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Yeah, really good, thanks. I don't think we gave you a rap last week for graduating university as well, by the way. Well done. What course did you do again?
Thank you. Bachelor of Health and Movement at ACPE. So, it's seven long years part-time here and there where I could, but, yeah, glad it's done now, that's for sure.
Oh, well done, mate. Thanks, mate. Really good stuff. So what does that sort of qualify you to do when you finish your footy career, mate, if you want to get into it?
I could still go do my sort of level two of strength conditioning coaching and then hopefully work my way into the high performance side of things after footy. I think I'm really enjoy that. I wouldn't say no to coaching or anything like that at this stage, but I'd definitely love to stay around the footy environment and just be in the gym and high performance sort of stuff and still be around it.
How much are clubs and I guess the players association as well putting into that area of your post footy career, etc. now, and how much encouragement is given to the players to pursue that sort of stuff during their career outside of the game?
Yeah, it's definitely improving every year, that's for sure. I remember when I started, there wasn't a lot around it, and there was sort of there, but not expected to do anything. Now I know, the younger boys of 20s, a lot of them are pushed towards some sort of education or some sort of even trade while they're not full-time and stuff like that, but there's a lot of help and a lot of avenues for guys to take and a lot of support there if they want to go into education and or anything like that at uni or TAFE or even little courses as well. Like at the moment, I know Josh Mansour's business, like Renaissance, they've been coming in every second week at the moment and just giving little crash courses on investments and renos and just little education things like that. So there's plenty around and definitely improving every year, which is good because you never know how long the career's going to last, do you?
No, that's fantastic. And it's great that, the game is and the Players Association are right behind it and supporting it because I think with these opportunities, you'll see more and more players start to think about life after football and, spend a bit of time preparing themselves? Because one of the things that you always are concerned about as a footballer, because you're so caught up in your own little bubble and you think rugby league is just it, it's a lot bigger world out there. And when your footy career is over, that's when you tend to struggle because you haven't worked on anything into the future. So I think it's terrific that clubs, players are doing more of this, Cookie.
Yeah, it is, mate. And like you said, like when you're young and you're a young footballer, you don't really think about that. You're trying to put all your eggs in one basket to play footy. That's what I was like as well. I remember I was actually got accepted into the uni when I was in 20s, but I deferred it just because I just wanted all focus on footy, really. And I pushed that back a couple of years, which I didn't do now because it obviously delayed how long it took me to get it done. But definitely glad it's done. And definitely I can speak on behalf of South that they're really good. Like our wellbeing program and education, they're always trying to get the boys in there and trying to get started on whatever it is that they're passionate about. And a lot of the things at the moment are not so much TAFE or uni. It might take a little TAFE course, but a lot of them talk about their own little businesses on the side. Latrell, obviously, he's got a couple there. I mentioned Mansour's before. A lot of them are all... you get a few senior players doing it too, and it filters down. And that's why we get the next generation of players coming through, better than the group before them, which is all, what it's all about as well.
You mentioned Latrell Mitchell, so let's just go to him quickly, Cookie, if you don't mind. He's been on fire with the boot lately. He's on a streak of 12 straight successful kicks. Does he put a lot of extra time into his kicking on the training pitch?
Yeah, he does. He's most sessions after he's having a kick, especially captain's on where he goes, I watch him go through his little routine across the field and back. He's definitely always having a kick after each session. And he's been doing it for a long time. So it's all about just keeping that routine the same for him. But at the moment, he's kicking really well. And, it's an important part of the season to be kicking well because, there's 2 points, four turning to six every time we score a try is going to be a massive help, especially in the big month of footy we've got coming up.
You've won your last five against Parramatta, Cookie. What do you put it down to? Why have you been able to worry them so much? Because you score a lot of points against them as well. I think in those five wins, three wins, you've put on 38 points, another 40, and your lowest score in that period's 30 points. So what do you do so well against Parra?
I wouldn't say the score lines are much to do with it because I know a couple of games we've run away with it at the end, but we've got a lot of respect for Parramatta and how strong a team they are and how good they are. We generally think they're a good chance to win the premiership this year. They're the only side to knock off Penrith both times this year, so we've got a lot of respect for them and know that we've got to play our best footy against them. So I think it's always a tough battle up front, for the first part of the game, but then we've been lucky enough the last few times to score a couple of late tries and put the scoreline out a bit, but yeah, it doesn't respect how physical those games are.
What have you been doing well the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, Cookie, compared to the start of the season?
I think we're really trusting the process that we have in not just in a defence, but in attack as well. Like we're not getting bored of what we're doing. I think there's been some great games where we've been able to stick to the game plan for a long period of time, if not the 80 minutes, and just continue to kick teams back, give them the ball back, kick it back to them, kick it to the corners, and try and lock them in and play the field position game. Because we know, with the outside backs we've got, and even in the middle, the threat that they have, we have forwards that we can score points when we're down there. We just need to make sure that we're disciplined in those areas of just going through our sets and kicking it back to them and locking them in. And still the biggest work on one I think we spoke about early rounds of this year was still discipline and letting teams out of their own end. I think that's still an issue for us though.
I just figured we're going to potentially have a BSB issue here, Loz, because what if Gutho scores and does the Gutherino on top of Cookie? What happens then?
Oh, right. We're going to take sides, do we? We're either going to say we like it or we don't like it.
Yeah.
I'll be neutral.
Oh, nah, mate.
Well, they're both mates.
You're to make a call.
No, when they're a mate, you look after your mates.
Honestly, you can't let him do that to you, Cookie.
Well, we'll see how the game's going.
Straight down the bat. What Parra players do you have to keep quiet, though, Cookie, when you look at that side? Obviously, no Mitchell Moses at the moment as well. Who do you see as their real, talisman?
Well, just one you mentioned then, Gutho, Sean Lane, and Dylan Brown. I reckon they've got a really nice combination on the left-hand side there. I think the way that they're using Sean Lane to get a bit of second-phase play, offloads and stuff happening around him, and Dylan Brown, obviously, a good runner of the ball too. So they're definitely one part of it. And then I think Junior and Regan up front, I think they're big, powerful guys that we've really got to win the physical battle with.
When you look at your opposite, what's unique about Reid Marnie?
Oh, very good. Yeah, very impressive, Reid. I've always have been. He's got a nice little kicking game in him as well. That's what they tried to use as well. You know, early tackles ended up getting out of their end. We want to make sure that Reid is, not jumping out of marker there not jumping out of hooker there and getting an early kick and looking for a 40-20. And just down the line, he's got a nice little turn-up play that him and Junior Bowler use really well. Junior knows when to run it. Junior knows when to pass it back to him. And they've had some real good success off the back of that.
How's the combination with Cam Murray going, your Origin teammate?
That's going good. It's nice the last couple of weeks with being able to link up a little bit. And he's done some good work like he does, breaking the line, so making me look good. But, it's one that we've worked on a lot over the years. And this year just obviously been shut down at times, but it's definitely always there. And it's all about just making sure that we know it's there. So when the opportunity is ready to go, that we're both on the same page. And, I feel like we are at the moment, which is good.
Mm. A lot of people, after round 15, when you played against the Dragons, I think it was, when Lachie Ellis was hooked, Cookie, everyone thought that might shatter this young kid's confidence. But he looks as though he's come back bigger and better. Have you noticed a difference in anything that he does? Has he been the same? I'm just interested to know a little bit about the kid and how he handled that tough moment in his so early on in his career.
Yeah, I think he handled it really well. I remember speaking to him after the game and speaking to the next or 2 days later at training, and I think he was, he was obviously a bit disappointed after the game, but then, come 2 days later, he was excited and pumped about where he's going and used it as a learning curve for where he was at. Again, on that Dragons game, it wasn't so much him being hooked. I think it was more of, JD was looking for a bit of experience and a change of attack and a bit of energy. And we had Cody Nicarima on the bench, and that's where he fitted in. But at the moment, like the last few weeks, a lot of it has to go down to Lockie. That we're sticking to the game plan. We put a lot of trust in him and a lot of pressure on him coming in his first year that we need to do a certain job, especially in our kicking game. And he's made sure we're stuck to that. No matter where he is on the field, we try and get him in a good position. But no matter where he is, he's always putting it in the pockets for our kick chase to get down there and lock him in. So nothing doesn't seem to faze him at the moment, which is a good sign for a young halfback.
Have you got a tip, Cookie?
I do. Race 7, number 1, turning at Sydney. Favourite loss, so you can have that one if you want.
Rightio.
Gee, there's some scratchings.
So race 7, number 1.
Yep, turning. Yep. Kim Ward, Dylan Gibbons, $3.90. And the favourites left in that race, Loz. So you may as well just take the favourite.
No, I'm not taking the favourite.
Okay.
I'm going to take... hang on. Give me a look here.
Well, that means
it's a good radio.
Because I'm 3 in a row.
Are you really?
Or 2 wins, and then your horse got scratched last week, so it didn't matter where.
Is J-Mac on anything in the last?
Yes, he is. He's on Euphrates Dream for Matty Smith.
That'll do.
$3.80.
I don't want Cookie to have the satisfaction of saying next week that I picked
what about
favorite.
What about the little jab, though? I'm 3 from 3, and Loz, yours last week got scratched.
Yeah, I know. I just let that go. To the keeper. Love through to the keeper.
That's $3.90. Race 7, number 1, turning. Cookie's tip. Good luck, Cookie, against the Eels on Friday night. Big game.
Thanks, guys.
And the market with Tab for that one. Parra, big outsider. Well, 5.5-point outsiders. $2.50. South's $1.53. Combank Stadium, the game's being played at. Getting $2.50, the Eels.
Jeez, I don't know in that game, Middo.
We'll find out tomorrow, your tip. With the great blocks.
What the way South are playing at the moment.
The Wallabies, they're up again Sunday morning, our time at 5:10 a.m. It'll be on Stan and up against Argentina once again, coming off the 41-26 victory on the weekend where they were down 26-17 at one point there in the second half. By the way, if you want to get up early enough, it could be the last game for Ian Foster as All Blacks coach. They're on at 1 a.m. at Ellis Park in Johannesburg against the Springboks. Of course, the Box beat the All Blacks 26-10 last weekend in the opening weekend at the Rugby Championship. And kind enough to join us now from South America is the Wallabies scrum half, Nick White. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Congrats on the win last weekend. Did you go and have a beer with Michael Checker in the other dressing room after the match by any chance?
Well, I didn't know. We didn't see him after the game, but... Yeah, no doubt we'll catch him after the game this weekend. We're usually it's interesting playing the same same opponent 2 weeks in a row. So usually leave that one for the second game. So hopefully we get a good result this weekend and we're able to share a beer after that one.
Did you notice things about the Argentinians that, you know, you could just tell that, you know, the way, the style that Michael Checa plays is really imparted on them, or are they a bit different to what you expected?
A little bit different to how they've played the last couple of years, and then you can certainly tell that's a bit of Czech style. You know, they're playing a lot of footy at the moment, using the ball, and mate, they're a handful. You know, when they're doing that, and a lot of that's Czech. You know, his style of play, playing a pod system and using the ball. So he's testing our defence, and it tested us pretty early on. But you know, we were able to get our hands on the ball late in the game, be able to put on a couple of tries and get that one back. So hopefully we can come out of the gates a bit better this week. And like I said, we've had a look at them now. So it's one of those games where review is preview, and we've both got a feel for each other. And this week will be different again.
Nick, how important was it to start this, you know, two test matches against Argentina with a win, given you're coming off that serious loss to England here in Australia?
Yeah, big, eh? Like, that English series was a big one for us. A lot of emotion, and obviously at home. And we lost that one. And not going to lie, that our confidence took a bit of a hit. We worked pretty hard and learned some lessons the hard way in that series. And just in terms of the Rugby Championship, it was really important we get away to a good start. We didn't get away to a good start. And I think that was a good test of our resolve and our character. And a lot of what we're talking about under the game, you know, things weren't going our way, that, you know, going back to what we learned in that English series and then going back to how we wanted to play and our identity and just fully backing that, and eventually that come good for us. So it'll be good for our confidence. It's really good. The game went like 86, 87 minutes because we're chasing that bonus point, and we eventually got it, which is a huge one for us. So we got 5 points there. And like I said, hopefully we can start the game a little bit better this week. And we'll be chasing a big result, and that'll set us in a hopefully put us in a good spot going into the Rugby Championship with 4 games to go against 2 absolute cracking teams in South Africa and New Zealand. So it's all ahead of us, and like you said, it was important we got a good start.
And Nick, you just mentioned the All Blacks. What's it like inside the game for a player like yourself? Have they lost their aura a little bit?
Oh, look, it's hard to say. Hard for us to say. We lost them 3 times last year and haven't played them yet. So, I think it's just where world rugby's going at the moment. You know, back in the day, obviously New Zealand have been top of the tree for a long time. And for a long time, it was the Southern Hemisphere and the Northern Hemisphere kind of in the middle rankings throughout the world. And I honestly think the top 10, just about anyone can beat anyone. You know, France is sitting on top of the world at the moment, the number one ranking, and they beat Japan by, you know, a try late in the piece. So, you know, it's from 1 to 10 in world rugby at the moment. It's pretty tight. And I just get, that's just a, you know, where our game's at the moment. And I think it's awesome for, you know, to see a team like Ireland be able to go to New Zealand and get a result. You know, between us and England, there was nothing in it. We went up spring tour last year, played Wales, Scotland and England. And, you know, there's only a couple of points in every game. So it's just where it is now. New Zealand, obviously, were ahead of us, ahead of everybody. For a long time there, but everyone's played, you know, played catch up and caught them, and you know, welcome to the crew. So now they're in amongst it, and look, I'm not going to say I feel sorry for them at all.
We wouldn't expect you to either.
We're speaking with Wallaby scrum half Nick White, and Nick, I can only imagine how much of a shock for the players it was, because I think a lot of, you know, rugby followers were certainly shocked to see Michael Hooper obviously put his hand up and pull out of the game last Saturday and has come home. You just look at Hoops and how durable he's been. You know, he's still only 30 years of age. It feels like he's been around for that long. But how is he? Give us an insight into, you know, what he said to the playing group and how he's going.
Mate, he's all right. You know, I spoke to him this morning. He's back home now. And home will do that. You know, get home, get to his family. He's feeling better already, he said. And you know, two traits that I've said all along that make him who he is, that a guy that we look up to, everyone looks up to, is how honest he is and how brave he was. So obviously honest with himself as to where he's at, and then the bravery to be able to, you know, the easy option would have been to just pop, you know, to go out there, continue to play, to continue to battle that. But he put the team first, and far out, even when he's got his own issues there, he's still putting the team first. what an absolute legend. So spoke to us players, said that that was the best thing for the team. Again, putting the team first, which was phenomenal. Said he needed to go home, and he's got the support of all us players and all staff back home, and he'll go home. And, you know, it's just like an injury, and he'll get it fixed and be back. But, you know, just a phenomenal guy. Like I said, someone like I look up to. Like you said, he's only 30. He's younger than me. I've known him for a decade, and someone I've always looked up to. You know, certainly the players, the staff, and a lot of fans. So, you know, he's in good hands now. He's done the right thing, and what a phenomenal thing for it just goes to show his leadership qualities, right? And you know, we're all behind him. Hopefully, he gets well, and we'll see him sometime in the future.
How devastating was it with Quade Cooper going down, being only 12 months out from a World Cup, and Samu Karevi, ACL in the sevens over there in Birmingham? Disappointing for those guys, but I suppose the positives are that you give other players an opportunity this far out from a World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely gutted for the blokes individually. You know, Samu, you know, he'd get picked in just about any team in the world at 12. He's probably the best 12 in the world, and you know, he's playing some great footy, but he gives an opportunity to some young guys, like you said, and it's next man up, you know. Quade, I really feel for, but there's one guy I know that will be diligent in his, you know, in his rehab and his process, and he gets genuinely excited by challenges like this. Like, you know what, I'll get fit and ready before the World Cup next year, and I'll back him. So yeah, it's next man up at the moment. We've had so many injuries in the last 6 weeks that we're just getting used to it. But it's next man up, and we've got a fair bit of depth now, so. You know, it's you know, devastating for the individuals, but for the group, like, just a show of our character. You know, we lose our captain, we lose a guy like Quade, we lose Samu, and we just crack on and find a way. And you know, the guy stepping in, you know, it's how most of our careers start, right? Is someone's you know, misfortune is another person's opportunity, and they take it with two hands and make it theirs, and someone special might create a career out of it.
Nick, really appreciate your time, mate. Go well again this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And the Wallabies $1.38 with Tab. Argentina $2.90, 10 past 5 Sunday morning. That game on Stan. Well, here's a random spotted for you, fellas. It's the Ecker public holiday in Brisbane today, and spotted at the Showbag Pavilion, because their big show. Mm. It's like their Royal Easter show, isn't it? But not Easter up there. Matt Damon, just in the Showbag Pavilion. As in actor Matt Damon.
Right. Yeah. And how did you find this bit of information?
I saw it
out
in the press today.
Right.
I think it was the Telegraph.
He's been
sure.
Spotted.
Spotted at the
Well,
Ecker.
Why isn't our man, Clarkie, in there?
Yeah, he's easier to find than Clarkie, Matt Damon.
I know. Why haven't they spotted Clarkie?
Well, we've spotted him.
There needs
him
to be
Eiffel
an investigation
Tower.
Into this. It's gone quiet on Clarkie.
You can ask all the questions in just a few days, mate. Now,
you sure he's coming back?
Oh, not 100%. I know he won't be 100% keen.
Well,
but
if there's not a photo or a headline, that means he's probably on a flight.
You should have been a police officer, Mossy.
There you go.
Sleuth. All right, joining us now from Newcastle, ahead of their 14, well, after, sorry, their 14-10 win against the Tigers at Campbelltown Sunday afternoon. They've got Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium, Saturday night. Joining us, Newcastle prop, Daniel Saifidi. Daniel, good morning to you.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. And tell us, well, describe to us how different, I guess, the mood around the camp is this week as opposed to last week.
Yeah, real good. It's good coming into training and to review and knowing you're going to win. What better clips on the board to show the boys. But, yeah, it was just pleasing to get the win after a tough week last week.
You mentioned the club had, you know, a bit of an honesty session. So who conducts that? Who leads that, Daniel?
A few of us got together, like Freeze, Brails, Gags, myself. Sort of came together before and spoke about stuff off the field happening and not letting it affect us, but bring us together more, and it did. So, no, it worked, and we're looking to do it again this week.
I was about to ask you that, Daniel, because a lot of Knights fans, you know, we get plenty of text messages and phone calls from them, and, you know, they're expressing their disappointment in the season. And then they see a game like last week where everyone was sort of committed and putting it all on the line. Why hasn't that not been there all year?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Something that we ask ourselves after the game. It's almost a case of, you know, what could have been, but no, it is disappointing that it took a week like that to bring out a performance like that. But you know, our focus is on finish the year strong going to next year.
Daniel, I just want to ask you, I don't want to harp on what happened last week, but just coming out of that honesty session and things like that, did you feel a shift in the mindset of the players and that something like that had galvanised the squad, which gave you confidence to go into the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. We just spoke about sticking together as a playing group, but not only as a playing group, but as a club, and giving the fans the performance they deserve. Like you said, it was a tough week, and the feel around training was a bit different, but we had to get over that pretty quick and turn our attention to the Tigers.
And we all know that rugby league, it turns very quickly. How important is it for you guys to back up that performance last week against the Broncos on Saturday night at Suncorp?
Yeah, very important. Pretty much all be for nothing, pretty much, if we just come out and just give one good performance and then not back it up. But we've spoken about the importance of it, and doing it against a good team at the home stadium, it'll mean a lot to the group and not in the fans.
Indications are, Daniel, that Kalyn Ponga maybe won't play for the rest of the season for the Knights. How is he?
No, he's all right, Kalyn. He's a bit of a free spirit. He just bounced around training and helping boys out. Given some of the other younger fullbacks some tips and that, and she's doing non-contact training, and he trains on the other side, that trains against the first grade side, touches us up a fair bit when he runs the ball and that, but he's looking good.
I'll tell you what, Daniel, while you would have loved to have played Origin again this year, how excited and proud were you to see your brother make his State of Origin debut this season?
Yeah, it was crazy, especially up there in Suncorp. I was probably more nervous than him, but he was so calm before the game. We met up before the game, I couldn't believe it, but he's worked so hard the last couple of years, coming off two good years. So it was a bit different watching from the crowd, but to see him play well, even though they lost, that was a proud brother moment.
So what with the finals out of reach, what's Adam O'Brien set for you guys to motivate you to the end of the season? What are the mini goals that you need to achieve?
Playing well consistently for each other, being selfless, and just finishing the year strong. Not only for us, but especially for the fans, give them some joy going into next year. We want to finish you strong going into a big season next year. But we're not looking too far ahead as well. But yeah, doing it for us and doing it for the fans.
You might not be looking too far ahead, Daniel, but I've just looked at your draw here. You can win all these remaining four games. I mean, if you put in the same performance as you did last weekend, you're very much capable of winning the remaining four games, which would give you plenty of confidence in at the end, leading into next year.
Yeah, definitely. We've looked at the whole draw from last week, but like I said, we're not looking too far ahead. We've talked about teams like Cowboys, Broncos and that, making a big leap from last year to this year. And they finished really strong last year, and that's something that we've talked about, something that we want to do. We've got the playing group to play some really good footy and add some more people next year, and we can do something special.
Daniel, you've said criticism of Adam O'Brien is unwarranted. What makes him a good coach?
He's fierce, but he's also real personable too. He's come from good systems, and he's shown that to us. So I suppose it's natural when a team sort of goes backwards. They look at the leaders and the coach, and they get criticised, which is fair. But I think the criticism from a lot of people and the fans, I think it's unwarranted and a bit unfair. But look, that comes with the territory, I suppose, and he's a big boy, he'll get over it. Mm-hmm.
With the World Cup coming up at the end of the year, Daniel, you and Jacob, I'm sure, would be keen to play. Can I ask, mate, who would you like to play for? Have you made yourself eligible for Australia or Fiji?
I've already spoken about it. I'm in an iron, but I'm more leaning towards not playing and having a good pre-season for Newcastle. Had a real interrupted pre-season last year and sort of derailed my season a little bit. So I just want to pay back the club and get into training a bit earlier. Otherwise, to come back after January, there's not much time to get fit. So, more than likely staying, but I've talked to my family about it, and now it comes around every 4 years, and I didn't get to play the last one through injury, so yeah. I'll talk about it with the club and my family at the end of the season.
And speaking about the off-season and pre-season, what in your opinion, and I know you're obviously not a coach, you're a player, so you don't have control over recruitment and things like that, but in your view, what do the Knights need to do this off-season and pre-season to become a top eight contender again?
If I look back at our 2 years before that, our pre-seasons were real tough, and this one was too, but with COVID, people coming in and out of pre-season probably wasn't the club's best, and I think having a real tough pre-season, adding some people to it, like you said, and I think that'll put us in good shape for the start of the year, and just the leaders stepping up and next year as well.
And Daniel, Anthony Milford, to what extent did everyone try and twist his arm to try and stop him from going to the Dolphins after, you know, he's made a pretty good contribution for you this year?
Yeah, we tried. But at the end of the day, he said it was for family reasons. You have to respect that. And like you said, he's contributed real well to the club this year, and he's shown how classy he is. But I'm excited to play with him this year. This week, it'd be first game back up at Suncorp. So I'm real excited for him.
Really appreciate your time this morning, mate. Go well against the Broncos and for the rest of the season.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
The Knights, $6.50 outsiders, plus 18.5. Huge line. It's against the Broncos.
Line,
the Broncos, $1.11. The Broncos have gone off the boil, Loz.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, sometimes you just need the victory like the Knights had last weekend. They hung on in the end, but sometimes you just need that to get your season going again. And winning breeds confidence. So they'll go up there thinking they can win. And if the Broncos are not at their best, the Knights are capable of winning this game. You know, on face value, Broncos got a lot to play for with semi-finals. But, you know, listening to Daniel there, you know, the Knights really want to finish their season off. And if they turn up with the same commitment they had last weekend, they're a chance of beating the Broncos.
And they have gone off the boil a little bit in recent times, the Broncos. They were looking like top four material a few weeks ago. But really, Kevi Walters has done a fantastic job turning club around. Like, they're coming from a long way back. I actually, when I was in Brisbane the other week, doing one of the Villa and Leeds game, the CEO of the Broncos walked into the commentary box, met him and his kids. They had some photos and stuff. And it was a short conversation, but I could sense that there was a real shift in culture, and they knew that they had to rebuild the place.
Yeah, they've done a great job. Dave Donaghy.
Yeah, Dave
from
Donaghy.
Melbourne.
That was,
He's been in the Melbourne Storm system for a long period of time. And Benny Eichen moved up there. Was it last year or the year before?
No, it was last year.
Last year. Just can't even remember. Both those guys have started to do some things up there, which has changed the way they operate, and they're getting success with it.
Mm. They've been out the gate in the premiership market now, the Bronx. In the last fortnight, 12 out to $29. Dave Stanley, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, Mossy. Morning, Loz. Yeah, I'm at the Australasian Gaming Expo, day two. And I tell you what, there's some incredible things I saw here yesterday. And with these expos, Mossy, you might have done them with NAB or being involved in the corporate world. But everyone keeps telling me day two of a three-day expo is when the handbrake comes well and truly off, and people just really want to enjoy themselves, make the most of being in Sydney town. Beautiful day on the Wednesday. Is that sort of the vibe that I should be expecting today?
Yes, mate. And usually tonight will be the big night as well, because
the end is nigh.
But I tell you what, they take a lot of energy too, these expos.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what about yesterday? So, obviously, the latest and greatest in gaming is here. And when I say gaming, you know, obviously what you'd find in your pubs and clubs. And obviously the Tab have got their new app, which they're showcasing as well to publicans and club owners. Here I am yesterday just walking around with the phone, filming things, you know, just thinking it was, you know, I was on vacation. And, probably shouldn't have been doing that. So apologies to all the vendors. I haven't been putting any of that video out in the public forum. But some of the stuff they've got, like robotic. How do you blokes feel about robots? In all seriousness.
I know a few.
Yeah, well, just imagine going to your local, right, and say sitting in the Tab area, So let's say, Loz, you're at the North Bridge, right? You're at the table, and obviously there'll still be staff, but just imagine if this robot came out and brought the schooner out. Would you feel comfortable with that, or do you think that's not your go?
No,
I
still want the human touch, yeah.
Loz is a people person, Davey.
I like to look people in the eye. I don't want to look a robot in the eye.
Do you know what? My stepdaughter has a robot that cleans the house down at Yass.
It's like a vacuum robot.
And I was sitting there the other week watching TV, and this thing kept nipping at my heels.
That wasn't the robot, mate.
I didn't feel real comfortable about it. Didn't make sense.
Yeah, well, they've got robotic, all sorts of that sort of stuff here. All the like the new technology. So pretty much anything you could think of, they've got. One thing I will say, though, guys, where our stand is, we're obviously right near Carlton United, and they were listening yesterday when I gave them a shout. They said, the BSB, we love the boys. Oh, Loz. And I was like, yep, no, all good boys. But we're right near Bingo Australia. Now, when was the last time you blokes played bingo?
Oh, my mother would have played it many, many years ago. That's the last time I probably heard of bingo.
Lindeman Island, 1981, won a seaplane trip out to the Barrier Reef.
Did you?
No, my brother did, but I'm claiming it.
Beautiful.
Jeez, it was good fun.
New York 5 years ago, it's a long story. Anyway,
hang on. Well, we've got three and a half minutes. How did you end up playing bingo in New York?
This establishment has a bingo night I was told to go to, and it's not... It was as good as it... Like, it was... got loose.
Not
people dancing on tables.
Right.
Very, very different to what you'd expect anyway.
Did there happen to be an attractive New Yorker that was suggesting you come to bingo with... her, and that's why you got talked into it?
I was with a male friend of mine, actually.
Right.
But as I said, we're running out of time, Dave. So just on the text line, by the way, someone's asked, can we get a recap of Davo's tips? And he likes on the Kenzo, race 4, number 9, Pretz, which I think was $2.70 just before, and Sandown, race 3, number 6, Miss Balvini, $4.80. The other thing, Dave, as well, the Kosciuszko, got to get your tickets because remember now it's gone from $1.3 to $2 million.
$2 million up for grabs. And today on the show, lovely segue, Mido. We're working well here. Keith Dryden will be our first guest after Scratchings, of course, the trainer of Handle the Truth there from Canberra. We're going to be going through that part of the world as well, Queanbeyan and Canberra, on our Kosciuszko tour. Mitch Cohen from RaceNet will join us. David Eustace, we're going to look for those that have never heard the program before or maybe switch off at 9. Every time I've had David Eustace on the program, he has tipped us a winner. They've got a very powerful stable, the Eustace Maher stable, and looking forward to that chat after 9:30. Rod Northam, more Kosciuszko news. Gary Colvin, now another one, of course, won the country championships. Well, the Union Hotel there in Wagga is the leading venue in terms of ticket sales at the moment in regards to Kosciuszko. So that'll be a bit of competition between the Union and the Farrah there, and I think there's a link with the Union and another one. So don't be surprised if Gary gives a strong push. And on a Wednesday now, we're also going to be chatting with our friends at Inglis. We're going to be having a chat about what is happening with the upcoming sales. That space is just getting bigger and bigger. People buying horses online. We see it all the time. And Brett Gliding will be joining us. Do you know, boys, one of my first job I ever had was at Dick Smith. I used to get a bit of a cash job. Grandma got me a job doing the bingo.
Calling the numbers.
Number eight Garden Gate. It was the Capella Bar Sports Club.
Right.
But I got in trouble because I liked, you know, the rhyming slang, if you could call it that. So I'd just be going, you know, number 31, get up and run. 33, dirty knee. 45, halfway there. 41, time for fun. 86, between the sticks. I'd just be going and then, the oldies, they weren't happy about it.
87.
Oh, I have to remember. 87 was Torque. What was 87? I know 88 was Two Fat Ladies. 89.
I was
going to
say you were steering clear of that one.
Yeah. One of my favourites, boys, was
Leagues 11.
Leagues 11. Number
there.
Hooroo, boys.
Bye-bye.
Go and get the New York Middle. I can't wait for Middo's book to come out, Will. Will, my producer, sitting here, he's nodding. I reckon Jared Middleton, My Life, coming to Penguin, that would be outstanding. Get it at Dimmicks, and then we'd have to get Middo to do the audio book as well. That would be the best. It is 9:01. plenty more fun to come tomorrow on the Big Sports Breakfast.